you're visiting this morning, we're glad that you're here and welcome. Sometimes I like to start off with a quick joke. So there's an atheist out hiking in the woods, and he encountered a bear. And this is somebody who's denied God his whole life. And so he suddenly cries out to God to spare him from the bear. And the Lord responds, said, "You being an atheist have denied me your entire life. Why should I help you now? Why not help the bear?" And so he says, well, the bear can't speak. You know, how would you know whether or not he would deny you? So the Lord grants the bear the ability to speak. So the bear begins to pray, and he says, "Thank you, Lord, for this food I'm about to receive." So this morning's lesson will be about losing faith and apostasy. So from 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 5, says, "They will go on pretending to be devoted to God, but they will refuse to let that devotion change the way they live. Stay away from these people." So the main topic is on millennials, and they often get blamed for ruining everything. This is millennials leaving the fold. It's a study of Christian share of the U.S. population falls quickly. Nearly one-third of millennials say that they are unaffiliated with any faith, and that is up 10 percentage points since 2007. And in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 says, "They will be fooled by evil spirits and by teachings that come from demons." So millennials are losing their religion, and social media might explain why. So this was an article I looked up by Catherine Foley. It said, "American millennials, those born between 1982 and 1999, are less likely to identify as a religious than previous generations at the same age, according to a new analysis of a combined large survey." And this is a little quote down here. "If I am not for my selfie, who will be for me?" It's all about taking the selfies. So the trend begins to appear in 2000, when the first millennials began answering some of the surveys. And of the college students who started in 1970, for example, 12% said that they never attended religious services, whereas today as many as 27% say that. College students who identified as having no religion has increased from 13 to 25% in the same time period. This is a chart here. This is among college freshmen. So you see on the left-hand side, 1970 up to 2010, purple line having never attended a religious service, and it's increased sharply since year 2000. And those identified as having no religion at all has increased accordingly. So according to Gene Twinge, a professor of psychology at San Diego University, though the survey can only show correlation and not causation, Twinge thinks that this generational shift is likely the result of a rise in individualism. "Individualism can be an uncomfortable fit with religion," she says, "whereas religion typically emphasizes social norms and appeals to higher authority, individualism focuses on the self and personal choices." So the need to belong hasn't changed. What has changed is how people fulfill it. Now there's the option to turn to things like Facebook, for example, rather than an external religious group to find a community. So in Galatians 1 and verse 10 it says, "For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So of those who are identified as having no religious affiliation, the decline was the highest among women, Caucasians, young adults living in lower socioeconomic status, and those living in the northeastern United States. religious affiliation for African Americans and those who identified as politically conservative declined the least across the different generations. So in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, he says, "Remember this, there are some terrible times coming in the last days. People will love only themselves and money, and they will be proud and boast about themselves. They will abuse others with insults. They will not obey their parents. They will be ungrateful and against all that is pleasing to God. They will have no love for others. They will refuse to forgive anyone. They will talk about others to hurt them and will have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. People will turn against their friends. They will do foolish things without thinking and will be so proud of themselves. Instead of loving God, they will love pleasure. They will go on pretending to be devoted to God, but they will refuse to let that devotion change the way they live. Stay away from these people." That's 2 Timothy 3:5. So I'll talk about social media for a minute. It's kind of hit or miss with that. To me, it's a tool. And that tool can be used for good or bad. Most of the time, I see people using it selfishly. I've seen people at restaurants taking selfies with their food and posting it online, like people care that they went to this restaurant and got this meal. They take selfies everywhere. I've seen people walking around, you know, FaceTiming out in the street, and I'm like, you can't just call them on the phone. I don't get it. However, it can be used for good. The church here at Glen Burnie does have a Facebook page, and we post things that are going on in the church, and we have a website and post the sermons, and so it's a tool. It can be used for good or bad. So continuing on, this is another graph or article showing unaffiliated decline of the mainline churches and Catholicism. That word's hard to say, sorry. So you can see the gradual decline, and I'll just cover Christian overall. You have the silent generation, which is born 1928 to 1945, baby boomers 46 to 64, Generation X, older millennials, young millennials. And it's steadily declined from 85% starting in 1928 down to the late 90s, down to 56%. So we've lost 30% of people over the years. Just aren't going to church anymore. This is a map showing the global status of evangelical Christianity. The green being Christian and the red representing other religions, and you see it's the highest in North America, although it is spreading in a lot of parts of Africa and parts of Asia. There was a movie that came out, and I believe it's on Netflix and some of the other streaming services. It was titled God's Not Dead, because throughout colleges across the country, they are increasingly preaching atheism. They're teaching atheism to kids, that it all just happened. We evolved from a cell that turned into a fish, that crawled up on land, that turned into a monkey, and then now here we are. But we know that that's not right. We know that everything was created and after its own kind. This is a quote from Willie Robertson, and he was in the movie God's Not Dead. He also helped his dad make some duck collars. So he was on the Duck Dynasty show. He says, "Hey, we're not trying to offend anybody, all right. If they don't want to watch the show, they can turn the channel. And as far as my preaching to Jesus, my life, my whole eternity belongs to God." And God's Not Dead is a 2014 American Christian drama film directed by Harold Cronk and stars Kevin Sorbo, Shane Harper, and others. The film was released in theaters March 21st, 2014 by PureFlix Entertainment, and it follows evangelical Christian college student named Shane Harper, whose faith is challenged by a philosophy professor who declares God is a pre-scientific fiction. So, to talk about the prodigal son, you're welcome to open your Bibles to Luke 15 and verses 11 through 32. Although, you can look it up in your Bible. I also have some nice slides to look at. It's got some graphics and pictures that the kids will enjoy. So this is all about turning back to God. Luke 15, chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger said to his father, 'Give me now the part of your property that I'm supposed to receive someday.' So the father divided his wealth between his two sons. And a few days later, the younger son gathered up all he had and left. And he traveled to a far away, to another country. And there he wasted his money living like a fool. And after he had spent everything he had, there was terrible famine throughout the country, and he was hungry and needed money. He went and got a job with one of the people who lived there, and the man sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was so hungry that he wanted to eat the food that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. The son realized that he had been very foolish, and he thought, 'All of my father's hard workers have plenty of food, but here I am, almost dead because I have nothing to eat. I will leave and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against God, and I have done wrong to you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but let me be like one of your hired workers.' And so he left and went to his father. And while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him coming and felt sorry for him. So he ran to him, hugged and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against God and I have done wrong to you. I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Hurry, bring the best clothes and put them on him, and put a ring on his finger and good sandals on his feet. My son was dead, but now he is alive again. He was lost, but he is found.' So they began to have a party. The elder son, who had been out in the field when he came near the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. So he called one of the servant boys and asked, 'What does this all mean?' The boy said, 'Your brother has come back and your father has killed the best calf to eat. He is happy because his son is back safe and sound.' The elder son was angry and would not go into the party, so his father went out and begged him to come in. But he said to his father, 'Look, for all these years I have worked like a slave for you. I have always done what you told me to do, and you never gave even a young goat for a party with my friends. But then this son of yours comes home after wasting your money on prostitutes, and you kill the best calf for him.' His father said to him, 'Oh, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But this was a day to be happy and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he is found.'" So this is another quote from Jesus in Matthew 14, 17. It says, "From the time that Jesus began to tell the people his message, 'Change your hearts and lives, because God's kingdom is now very near.'" So in summary, although Christianity appears to be declining in America, particularly among the youth, there's yet hope. I see a lot of young people today, and that brings me hope. Those aged 15 to 30 are often rebellious towards any authority and seek approval of their peers. And some will grow out of this wild living and want to settle down and marry and want better things for their children, like the Bible. And speaking of wild living, this is just a fair warning to all the young people. Is you want to find somebody worthwhile to marry. And you need to care about yourself. So when I say someone worthwhile isn't going to want somebody that has partied their whole life. They're not going to want to spend the rest of their life taking care of someone that everybody else got for free. if you know what I mean. So take care of yourself and find someone worthwhile to marry. Christianity is increasing in other nations, such as India and Central Africa, China and Korea. And on the board over here, we have baptisms for the year. On the right-hand side, or the left-hand side of that board, is our missionary work. We have over 300 baptisms worldwide. So in conclusion, James 5 and verse 20. Remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from a death and cover a multitude of sins. So if you're here this morning and you need the prayers of the congregation, you want to turn back to God and repent of your sins, you can be baptized this morning and be forgiven and become a Christian. If you have any other prayers or concerns that you request of the church, please come forward now and let your need be known as together we stand and sing.